You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Episode 435 of After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. Lots to talk about with the Rangers-Devils game to start last night. I mean, I know that's going to carry into a Sabres conversation somehow. How can that possibly be avoided? But there's two things I need to say first. First of all, happy birthday to one of the strongest people I know. Did so much for my brother and I, my mom, Anne, today. It's her birthday. So
happy birthday, Anne.
Happy birthday to my mom, Anne with an E, with an E. That's always been something that she has cherished in her life, is that she is Anne with an E.
What does she have? What's the plan for the birthday?
Knowing my dad, it'll be something romantic and probably early to bed tonight together. I mean, you know. Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
What do the 70-year-old people do on their birthdays? No, they're down in Florida. My brother and his family are down there. They're on break, so they're hanging out. And I have the dog here. So happy birthday to my mom. That's it. That's all I got. Hope she has a great day. She doesn't listen, so she won't hear this, but I just wanted everyone to know that it's my mom's birthday today, April 4th. Someone corrected me yesterday. They listened to the show, texted me right away. You know, I was talking about concerts and going to concerts and music, and you're like, I don't go to concerts. I can't handle crowds. And then I'm going to tell you that within a matter of, I mean, I don't know what time I put that show out yesterday, but all I can tell you is that within 50 minutes, I get a text saying, it's interesting that Craig lies like that on your show. And I said, well, what are you talking about? He doesn't go to concerts. He doesn't go to concerts. Someone was with you at a Coldplay concert not long ago. I guess a couple years ago, went to Coldplay. Did you go to a country concert too, not too long ago?
A Coldplay concert?
Darien Lake, Coldplay?
Yeah, that was like...
Doesn't fucking matter. Were you there?
16 years ago.
It wasn't 16 years ago. It was in 2016.
No. No. Nope. Nope. It would have been... 2019, maybe.
Okay, so 5 years ago.
Or sorry. 2009.
Also known as 2009.
Because I think it was the first year that I came to Buffalo, and a group of us went to Darien Lake and had a good time at a concert.
Let me see here.
Are you looking up their shows?
No, their text from yesterday. Didn't say the year. Said I met Craig at a Coldplay concert, so he's a liar. He does go to concerts. They did not specify the year, so maybe your heart has changed since.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at it right now. Darien Lake performance, June 1st, 2009.
Oh, man. Okay. All right.
You so were... take it back. Take it back there, big guy.
All right. Instantly, I regret saying that.
Instantly, you regret that in a big way.
So another thing I was listening to. So have you ever heard of this show on Netflix called Love is Blind?
I have not.
You've not heard about this.
I have not heard about this show,
but I've had more people that know me tell me that I need that I would not that I need to go on the show. That's not what they said. They said they think that I would be amazing on the show.
So what kind of show is it?
Well, I didn't know. I was asking, I'm like, well, what is the show? They're like, well, you have to watch it. And I said, well, what's the concept of the show? And they're like, oh, and then they kind of gave me the idea. Like you sit in a room on the other side of a wall with someone and you can talk to them, but so you can only fall in love with them by getting to know them through the wall. So you can have like multiple dates and spend multiple time together, but you have no idea what each other looks like. And you have no idea. I don't think you're allowed to describe what you look like. I could only make it through half the episode. I tried it last night. I'm like, someone's like, you got to see this. You'd be unbelievable on this show. And I was like, okay. They're like, can I sign you up? Yeah. I have someone that wants to sign me up. And I was just like, not signing me up for this fucking show, first of all. And secondly, I don't even know what it is. So I went and watched it. You got to be pretty desperate to go on. Like, these people are falling in love, Craig. They're in like 4 hours. Like, they're like, I think I could spend the rest of my life with you. I think you sound like my match. You sound like the person I want to be with. And then, so I think what happens is if you propose to the person, then you get to see them and then you get married like a month later.
Could be the dumbest thing I have ever.
Well, the whole time I'm watching this, I'm like, where do I fit into this? But then I think I'd be all right in the booth. I think I'd do all right in the booth. Just sitting there shooting the shit.
I mean, when you're in a relationship, what part of the physical attraction is a percentage of you dating someone? Well,
that's not fair because...
What do you mean it's not fair?
Well, what I mean by that is...
Where do you put your percentage?
You can't learn about somebody.
Okay.
Typically.
I get it. Okay. How do you get to learn about somebody? I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Well, you talk to
everyone
them.
Has... No.
Or you can just ask around and go by it based off what everybody else says.
No, Andrew. No. First thing that you're going to do...
Hey, love doctor.
First thing that you're going to do... Before you even give an opportunity for your, you know, partner or whatever you would do would be a physical attraction. That is going to be your number one thing. That's 99.9% of people starts with physical attraction. And from there, you start to talk to the person. You might talk to the person for 5 minutes. She might be a 10 out of 10. And within 5 minutes of speaking with her, you're like, there's no chance. You might be going out with a 6 out of 10. And within 5 minutes, that 6 out of 10 has grown to an 8 out of 10 just with speaking to the person. I do believe that physical attraction is the number one thing. And then that basically navigates you to where the next step goes. That's what I would be thinking.
Well, that's what I was just that the whole time I'm watching this, I'm trying to figure out, you know, where I was fitting in. Ask me what the most important attribute is in a partner. Ask me that.
Can I guess or you want me to just ask you?
It's up to you. You can guess. What do you think is the most important? Listen, attraction is
number one.
Listen, I'm on that show and a vast majority of the people, they're all attractive. Like every person on the show in their own right is attractive.
Yep.
I mean, so, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you're not taking two opposite ends of the spectrum here and throwing them into the booth, and the guy opens the door, the girl opens the door, and she's like, oh my God, no chance.
Yeah.
So it's not that.
Okay.
But obviously the attraction is That's
okay. Let's move by. Let's move by the attraction. Is okay, number
intellect.
One.
Intellect.
Okay, that's intellect is number two then.
Like, yeah, I'm. Okay. I'm for me, it is. I mean, sense of humor doesn't matter because I'm so funny that it's, you know, it is the. So sense of humor isn't necessarily crucial, but intellect. I mean, it's not profession, not based off profession. Like when I say intellect, doesn't have to be a doctor, doesn't have to be a lawyer. It just has to be. It can be. It just has to be someone that.
Can hold a conversation past the color of her nails.
Yes, an intelligent conversation.
Yes, okay.
You know, I think grammar is very important.
Yeah. Hence, Anne. Happy birthday, yeah, Anne.
That's where my mother comes in.
Yep.
You know, it's good to know how to throw a sentence together. Anyway, that's I don't know. That's it.
Well, hopefully, here's to you going on Love is Blind and entertaining us all, because I think you would be really good for that.
Anyway, it was Patty Coletta who suggested that I go on Love is Blind and Maddie. So I watched it and I don't see it.
I 100% see it. I think you would be incredible on that show. You would be a star on that show because you love to talk. You're a smart guy, and you know.
But if you had a choice,
charm and your wit. So
I made it. I made it through about 15, 20 minutes. Then I saw the first episode when someone said, you know, I could see myself with you for the rest of my life. That's where I was just kind of like, ugh. God, you have to be pathetic and desperate to be on this show. So, I don't know. Maybe that's where I fit in. Pathetic and desperate.
You know what time of year it is? It's March Madness time. And I have two words for you. Hoops Hangout. Saturday, April 6th. It's the college basketball tournament watch parties at Seneca Niagara.
Catch college basketball tournament action with your friends in your one-of-a-kind viewing area at Seneca Niagara. To reserve your spot, go to SenecaNiagaraCasino.com.
Nothing else comes close.
I'll tell you what I didn't shut off, though. I didn't shut off the start of the Rangers game last night. I can tell you that much.
That there was a message sent there. And you know why that happened? Because Rempe and the dirty hit that he put on a player before that. I cannot remember who it was, but it was a dirty hit. Player got injured, one of their top players. And
yeah.
And this is New Jersey Devils sending a message back to the Rangers that this will not happen. Yeah. This will not happen against us.
So let's break this down. Number one, let's look at the optics of it from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
How are the optics of the game of hockey when this happens? There are people out there that think it's absolutely disgusting what happened. We don't have to talk about what their opinions are. There are people out there that absolutely love it. Those are the opposite ends of the spectrum in this regard.
I find it hard to believe people would not like this. Because this is not just about the game of hockey. It's about an organization and about protecting and making a statement about what happened in the game before and about two teams that care for each other. And this is part of the game.
How does something like this start? For instance,
start.
Clearly both teams wanted this to happen. They started the lineup. Like the road team has to put their lineup first. Okay, so they put their lineup in, and then you have Laviolette go and match them with the other lineup. Okay, correct. So you have to remember you're line matching. Okay, so that was set up. There's a message sent by Travis Green when he started Curtis McDermott. He could have started any of the other defensemen, but he started Curtis McDermott. Okay. Then the New York Rangers start Matt Rempe. Now, are we promoting this stuff? Are we advertising this again? is this part of hockey again? Is this what the league wants? Is this where we're headed again? That's what I'm wondering, because I can't get over the hypocrisy here of we want fighting out of the game. But and then I see Reeves and Jeannot last night. There's another fight. Like, fighting is up this year more than it's been in the last few years. And I don't need a statistic to confirm that. You just have to watch the highlights.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I guess I'm just confused, not so much on where I stand on fighting or where you stand or where the fans stand, but where does the league stand on fighting? Because
I guess my thought about this is you have a team that put on Chris Tierney, okay, Curtis Lazar, and you have Curtis McDermott as your in your starting lineup. Now, is there any one of those guys that you're thinking is a danger to society? And the answer is there's one. His name's Curtis McDermott. And on defense, they ended up putting in Kevin Bale, who I really didn't even know who he is. And the other one is John Marino. So out of those guys, do you think that they're doing something wrong in putting those two guys in the ice? And the answer is no. And Curtis McDermott, you're playing in New York Rangers. Maybe they wanted to start some and grab some energy. Like, I don't look at Chris Tierney as a guy that is anywhere close to a fighter. He's not a fighter. And either is Curtis Lazar. He's not a fighter at all. So why are people jumping to the conclusions like all of a sudden? Like, I can see how he put Curtis McDermott on the ice. And then you would think that the New York Rangers are going to, as a, you know, the code or whatever, which is if you want that, you're going to put Matt Rempe on the ice to basically say, okay, we are going to fight because of what I did in the last game. Because remember, Curtis McDermott wanted an opportunity to fight Matt Rempe in the game when he made that dirty hit. And they didn't fight. Well, this is the fallover game. Now, I would have thought that those two guys, they know their jobs. I would have thought that they would fight, get it over with, and people are in the box. But the problem is there was five fights. Like, go and look at what Laviolette did. He starts Barkley Goodrow. He starts Keandre Miller. He starts Jacob Trouba. Jimmy Vesey, who's not a fighter, but the kid will do what he has to do. I don't have a problem with this at all. I think it's awesome. I think it's great. They got it all out of their system. Eight guys got kicked out of the game because of it. And the game went on after. That's it. Do I have a problem with this at all? Hell no. Not at all.
No, I wasn't suggesting.
Because I'll tell you right now, could you imagine? Did you see the Rangers arena? Did you see how they were buzzing? Those fans got their money's worth and some. They would have paid triple the ticket to watch that game. I think it's fantastic.
Some would say that it's lacked on some teams.
Well, listen, I mean, I know where you're going with that statement. I'll flat out say it. The Sabres are lacking this. I have talked about this for I don't know how long, like a really, really long time. The way I look at the Sabres is they're two thirds put together. They're still missing a third. And I'm going to tell you, the two thirds that they have are fantastic. Like, I mean, really, really good. I love Tage Thompson. I love Alex Tuck. I love Dylan Cousins. I love J.J. Paterka. I love Jack Quinn, I know that he's been injured all year, so had some setbacks. But let me tell you, when this kid gets healthy, he's a stud.
He's got to stay healthy, though. That I mean,
listen, I've You've injuries seen guys before.
Yeah, injuries
that have been injured early in careers and then gone for 8 years without missing a game.
Sure.
I've seen that.
Yeah, yeah, me too. Me too. I mean, there was a time where people thought Sidney Crosby was done. And he, you
right.
know, you know, when you look back and right. he's still doing it. So, yeah, I hear you. It sucks getting injured. And it can be detrimental to players and their careers. But it also sucks getting injured in a car crash or at work. So if that's happened to you and you need an attorney, there's only one attorney that you need to call. That's Salino Law. Always there to fight the insurance companies to get you the most that you deserve for your injuries. So if you need Salino Law, pick up the phone and call the 888-888-8888. Car crash, call Salino.
But going on to what I was saying, Petey, we're two-thirds the way there. We have the skill. And I just named all those forwards. You can even throw Zach Benson in there that, holy shitballs, kid's just a firecracker.
It's interesting what you're saying, because did you see John Tortorella's latest press conference? Like, not the one after the game, but the one the next day?
I did. Okay. I did.
So he made a comment. He said, you guys are young. You're not supposed to be here. Yeah, well, we are here. So accept it and let's get better. And he's talking about the youth of the team or the inexperience, because they're not supposed to be third in their division right now. I think a lot of us, the entire critical hockey world probably said Philadelphia's going to suck this year.
Okay. And I was one of them with same my here. Hand raised.
Yep. Same here. Did not see this coming. So, you know, what's the difference between them and the Sabres? The Sabres are way more offensively talented. I think they have better defensemen. They have better goaltending. What's the difference?
They have better forwards, too.
They just play harder. The Flyers play a different brand of hockey. And now, listen, we're going to see this in a couple days. So there's kind of a correlation here, because you're coming off a 3-0 Leaf loss. And now you're going to be playing a Philadelphia Flyers team that's fighting for their life in the playoffs. And they're coming into Buffalo tomorrow night. And we're going to see this team. This is not a game that the Sabres want to lose. This is a statement game. It's not a play. It doesn't get you in the standings. It doesn't do any of that. But this is a statement game. And I don't know if you feel that way. This isn't the biggest game on the calendar for me because it has any meaning to it. But you know what it does? You better be ready to play, because the Philadelphia Flyers are going to come out flying. No pun intended.
I will just say that when I look at the team that Philadelphia has, okay, I would take, we got, I don't even know who this kid is, Samuelson. Earson? He's played 44 games this year, or 46 games this year. He hasn't had great statistics. I look at the defense core that they have. It's not even close to the Buffalo Sabres. When I look at the forward line in you know, Philadelphia, Travis Konecny, I've talked about him for years, and there was at one point 2 years ago that he was on the trade block and his name was out there, and I was screaming to have us take notice of that, because if you can get a guy like that, he's fantastic. But what I'm trying to say is, when you look at Philadelphia's forward line, it is not as good now. But in 2 years from now, it's going to be nowhere near where we're at here in Buffalo. That's what I feel. But I will say that they have a full team. Nick Deslauriers, for an example, has one goal in 60 games. And people think, well, he's got one goal in 60 games. Why would we want him on our team? And the reality of it is, he completes the team. He completes not having a team of two-thirds. Again, the Garnet Hathaway he completes that other side of the game that you desperately need. That's what I think. once the Sabres decide that it's time to complete the team, this team will completely take off. I mean, completely take off. They have the defense core, high-end defense core. They have the forwards, high-end, talented, skilled forwards. They are missing the one-third of this hockey team. And once they provide the one, and that doesn't mean signing Zemgus Girgensson again. I'm sorry. You do that, you are in a world of pain again. Zemgus Girgensson is a very good hockey player. Okay? He just needs a new, he needs a new start and a new team. And we need the proper players to make this team better. Do you agree with that?
Obviously.
Like, I sit here and I think to myself, oh boy, oh boy. Why wasn't Zemgus Girgensson traded at the deadline? Why? Do you know?
I don't think it's because nobody would have wanted him.
I think there'd be a lot of teams that would want
Zemgus Girgensson
for a playoff run. I don't
think it's because the team wouldn't retain half of his salary to move him and get something for him. I think it's because they need bodies going into next year. I think Zemgus Girgensson is going to be back next year.
No way.
Oh.
No way.
Oh, they need bodies for this year?
There's no way Zemgus Girgensson should be back.
Didn't
on
say
this
should.
Team next
I
year.
Said would. Will be. He will be back next year.
How? Why? Why? Why is that a smart move?
Where are you getting players from, Craig? Where the fuck are you getting players from? Please, I just
you know what?
Answer if, me this question.
Listen, it's
go
very
free,
simple,
the
man.
Unrestricted
it's very
free agency
simple.
List. You're going to go through the unrestricted free agency list.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. You want to go through it?
Let's go through it.
You give you one right now.
Give me one.
One right at the top of my
give
head.
Give me one right at the top.
His name's William Carrier. William Carrier already has a Stanley Cup to his
Stanley
name.
Cup, William Carrier.
Yeah, Stanley Cup,
William
Carrier. Fourth
guy
line.
Who radio members in this town in Buffalo said would never play in the NHL. William Carrier will never play in the NHL. Yeah. That was a quote from one of our very own experts that rides the fucking radio around here. Okay.
Okay.
I'm not going to name names.
Okay.
I remember when that person said that, and I just remember thinking that is one of the dumbest fucking things I've ever heard because you don't know where he's going to fit in a lineup.
Okay.
And he's made himself a great – he's not coming back to Buffalo. He's not going to go from
– that was 7 years ago that person was talking
second,
about
Craig.
Him.
Hold on a second. Craig, do you think a player from Vegas after playing with Jack Eichel is going to fucking sign in Buffalo? How much are you going to overpay Bill Carrier to come here?
He's 29 years old. Just answer the question. Answer the question. Okay. How much do you think it's going to cost William Carrier to get him to come to Buffalo?
We don't have all this cap space anymore.
How much are you going to pay him?
I would pay William Carrier $2 million a year, if not more.
$2 million? $2 million. You're going to pay him $2 million.
Well
you're on crack cocaine. I would pay him minimum $2.5 million.
Okay.
If you're paying Zemgus Girgensson $2.5 million to play on your goddamn team, how are you not going to throw $2.5 million at William Carrier?
We said that about Hathaway. I mean, when you saw what Hathaway signed for.
Yes, I did say that about Hathaway.
When we saw what Hathaway signed for, you're sitting there saying, I would have given him $1 million more than that and an extra year.
Yes, 100%. I'm talking about William Carrier. I'm talking about a 4-year deal for this guy. I'm talking about paying him at least $2.5 million. Because I'm going to tell you right now, he is 10 times, and I mean 10 times better than Zemgus Girgensson. He is fast. He is physical. He plays with edge, nastiness. That's just the way it is. This team needs fresh. They need new. Do you think we want to watch Zemgus Girgensson skate around for another year? He's been here for how long?
this isn't a one summer thing, Craig. Like, you're not going to be able to get all these guys that you need, the character guys. You're talking about players that you want to bring in. Hey, William Carrier, perfect guy, not coming here. Who's next?
I think you're totally wrong.
Fine. Maybe I'm wrong. But who's
William
next?
William Carrier right now
who's next,
signed
Craig?
A four-year deal. Four-year
Craig,
deal.
Who's next?
Hold on. I don't understand why you're saying he's not coming here. William Carrier signed a four-year deal. The average is $1.4 million. William Carrier, if you were to offer him Zengis Girgensons money, you're getting a guy that's 6'2", 220 pounds. He's won a Stanley Cup. He's been in an environment of winning. He's not the same William Carrier when he was here in Buffalo.
Craig,
he's a different
team,
player.
Exactly. Every team needs a William Carrier. So I'm going to tell you something. He's going to have his pick of the litter. Okay? He's going to have his pick of the litter. And my guess is a team like Montreal will be hard after William Carrier. My guess is a team like Toronto will be hard after William Carrier. My guess is a team like Edmonton will be hard after William Carrier. My guess is a team like LA will be hard after William Carrier. Should I keep going? Philadelphia could be hard after a William Carrier. Carolina Hurricanes, New York Rangers. Like, all these teams are going to be seeking the same player. And I'm going to tell you something. If Buffalo doesn't have all the cap space in the world to just chuck around anymore. You got Power coming up. You got Dahlin coming up. You got who else is money? You're going to have to pay your goaltender now, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. Like, there's money that's not as available as it was last year to give guys courtesy paychecks, okay? To give them more than what they're really worth. And that Tyson
Jones. How much are you going to spend on Zemgus Girgensen next year?
Who's your other free agent, Craig? Is Carrier the only one? Is he our fucking only savior that you can pull off that list?
I am You asked me.
I did.
To give you a guy, and I gave you one guy. Do you want me to like go back and like have to do my research on other guys? I'm sure there's other guys out there. The reality of it, there are going to be teams that are in cap hell. There are going to be teams that the Sabres should be targeting, not necessarily their top guys, but guys that are role players. Like, we're talking about Vegas Golden Knights. We're talking about they are currently at $92 million in projected cap space. We're talking about guys that they don't even have in their lineup, like Mark Stone making 9.5. They have Thomas Hertl that makes 6.75. They have Robin Lehner on their long-term IR at $5 million. Like, they are in cap hell.
You're right with Carrier. You're just wrong that he come here. And it's not me trying. No one's coming here.
There's
right
going to be
right?
teams that go and pay him, that offer him 1.75. And this is where Buffalo steps in and says, no, we need players like this guy. He is essential to us moving forward.
I guess
you understand? Like,
yeah, he stays next, in Vegas. It's too long of a
conversation. He's not staying in Vegas. He is not staying in Vegas. There is zero, and I mean there's not even a percentage that he stays in Vegas. They do not have any money.
They have no cap space. Yeah.
Vegas is absolutely done.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm not doubting that. I'm just saying.
Colorado Avalanche next year.
I'm not hopeful. Okay. I don't
Hold on.
I have
Colorado Avalanche
you want the truth?
Next year.
Do you want the truth here? I don't have faith. I'm sorry, but I don't have faith in our general manager to get these deals done. I don't believe he shares the same vision that we do when it comes. I don't believe the coach here shares the same vision that we do or other coaches do in theories of how to play hockey. I have heard from many, too many people, that Don Granato encourages his players not to hit. He'd rather them turn away from checks. He'd not waste the energy, use use that energy to keep in your legs and back check and be hard on pucks and stops and starts. Well, I'm sorry. That's just not how fucking the winning teams in this league play. So until that changes, that's players and coaching, then we're fucked.
The accountability on the Sabres suck. Don Granato does not keep his players accountable.
I just asked you 20 minutes ago. Look at the Sabres roster. Who are their character guys?
Why are we talking about the one third? They have two thirds. I feel very, very comfortable deep down inside saying to you right now that I feel very comfortable with the Buffalo Sabres two-thirds of this hockey team. I love Tage Thompson, Cousins, Tuck. You know, you can throw Greenway in there, a big body. And I think Jordan Greenway, if he had a role on the team instead of just, hey, we're just going to go out and you're going to be no different than Zach Benson or Paterka or Quinn. If he's told how they want him to play, I
Once
think he would be a better player.
Once you insert these guys, everybody grows a bigger set of balls. Look at Paul Gostad. Paul Gostad was the biggest bluffer in the National Hockey League. But you know why he was so fucking tough? Because Adam Mayer was in the lineup. Andrew Peters was in the lineup. Pat Coletta was in the lineup. So he got to go around and do whatever the fuck he wanted and occasionally fought. That's the whole point I'm trying to make, is that when you insert a few players, okay, the rest of your team gets a little bit tougher. You need to go find a defenseman. And this whole conversation doesn't stem off.
I'm not saying insert five, six tough guys. I'm saying you need energy guys. I'm saying you need a different type of player. I don't think Rasmus Dahlin is scared, but holy shit, I guarantee you with 1,000% certainty, if you pulled him into a dark room and said, what does this team needs? He's like, oh my God, please go get us some toughness. Please, please get us some toughness. And if Kevin Adams cannot go out and find three players that will round out that one third of hockey on this team that will gain strength and physicality and make Alex Tuck a bigger hockey player and Tage Thompson a bigger hockey player and support a Jordan Greenway, this team will absolutely take off. Take off.
Okay. Well, we'll see. What's the deadline on us for shitting on this? Like, is it August? Training camp?
You mean like Kevin doesn't need to go out and make very many moves. Like I talk about Jeff Skinner. We going to need to move Jeff Skinner and his $9 million. They're not moving Jeff Skinner. No. They're not going to move Jeff Skinner. It's almost damn near impossible to move Jeff Skinner. It is almost impossible. They're not buying him out. So just like throw that out the window. You're dealing with it. You just have to deal with Jeff Skinner's. Unless Kevin Adams pulls, you know, the greatest move of all time. I see Jeff Skinner going to be back next year. And when you look at the offense that we have, yes, Dylan Cousins will get better just with age. Yes, J.J. Paterka. Yes, Jack Quinn. Yes, Zach Benson. Yes, Peyton Krebs will get better with age. But that's still not enough for this team to be a playoff hockey team. You need four lines. You need six defense. You know you're going to get your offensive output from our top D. You know you're going to get your offensive output from your forwards. But those forwards, man, they need to feel supported on the ice, and they will grow the biggest set of balls once Kevin Adams go out and he does his job and he gets the right guys on the fourth line. That's it. Now you have a complete team. And you will see the difference in the change of the attitude and the swagger of these players.
Okay. What if the vision is not that?
Then we'll miss the playoffs again.
Hold on a second.
Do you agree with that? Do you think I'm wrong?
No, I don't. I think we'll get pushed around.
I think we'll have many more talks about this.
And I think that's what costs you 10 points a year.
Easily.
15 points a year.
easily
is the fact that teams come in and they laugh at how easy of a game it can be. Yes, yes. Some nights the Sabres have absolutely caught some of the best teams in the league off guard, no question. But Toronto certainly came back in here remembering the shit spanking that Buffalo put on them a while ago, didn't they?
Yep.
Right? I look at a team like Florida. I look at teams like the Rangers. These are your two top teams in the East, in my opinion. That's going to be your conference final. And it's going to be a war.
Listen, there's a lot of teams right now, a lot of teams. In both conferences, it is almost damn near impossible. What I love about the game right now is when I played back, and even 20 years ago plus, you could almost tell who were, like, there was five teams that stuck out like a sore thumb. Your teams that just made the playoffs, those teams were not anywhere near what the top teams were. And in today's game, there's 12 teams right now. You could take the 12th team, okay? And you could say that arguably that 12th team is easily as good as the number one team.
You know, not to just go ADD on you here. I just can't believe that you think fucking Bill Carrier is going to go from Vegas to Buffalo for an extra $500,000 a year.
It's just, well, here's the thing. William Carrier has not made a lot. He hasn't made a lot of money in this league. And if you were to go and offer William Carrier a 4-year contract for $2.5 million, I think he would be here in a heartbeat. And I think he would love the fan base, and the fan base would love and have a deep exhale of like, huh, finally a guy that wants to play super fast and physical, that's got a little nastiness to him. That's what you want. He's not a fighter. He's not necessarily a fighter.
He's made $12 million in salary. I mean, it's not 40 or 50 like Tage and these other guys are getting, but he's made $12 million. So, I mean, you know, he's gonna be sitting on a 4-year deal from anybody, and he's easily on a 4-year deal.
No, that's not true.
Okay.
I think that William Carrier, how old is he?
William Carrier will be a Montreal Canadian next year.
Why would he do that?
He's from Quebec. He's won a cup. He's going to go home.
Why are we always talking about going home? Montreal Canadiens have the highest tax rate in North America. Is that where you want to be when you're making your most money? Vegas Golden Knights does not have the financial means to sign William Carrier. They have no chance at all of signing him. The Buffalo Sabres have the opportunity to sign him, or will have the opportunity to sign him.
The last thing I want to say before we get out of here, and I'm actually truly disappointed in myself that it's coming up so late on the show, so far down the road after the fact, and probably should have been mentioned at the start of a show, but Bill Wippert, 50 years of service with the Buffalo Sabres as a photographer, and one of the best. And I will say this, he doesn't even look 50, okay? I've known Bill ever since I came here. I think my draft year, he was taking pictures, and, you know, you just get to know the guy, and you hang out, you see him, and you have beers with him over the years. He's at every golf tournament. He's one of the greatest guys you'll ever meet. I don't know that I've ever met anybody that does not like Bill Wippert. So congratulations to him on all of his years of service. And it's not even the years of service of just taking great photos, but it's the relationships that he built with the players and the people that he's taking photographs with. I mean, I don't think I've seen a more personable person when it comes to giving their time and talking to people than Bill Wippert. And I remember saw him at the alumni tournament. He took couple awesome pictures and sent them to me for of Brody and I on the golf course, a couple with some of our former teammates and whatnot. But one of the things I was asking was, I asked him, I said, let me see the camera. Let me see what the lens looks like, you know? And I was talking about his camera and how much they cost and everything. And he's like, it's not even how much they cost. He's like, hold it up. Hold the camera up for, I don't know, 10 seconds. You're holding this camera up and it's so heavy. Like it's, I mean, you think about holding just this camera with a long lens and you're constantly rotating it and your hands always in the same spot. I mean, it's like, he said his hands are starting to hurt from all the years of gripping that camera. Cause the last thing you're going to want to do is let it go. Right. That's I guess that would be a worker's comp claim, I guess. But my point is Bill Wippert is well deserving of the honor, and any pictures that you've seen over the years of players and whatnot, a lot of them came from him. A lot of our stuff comes from him. I rip off his stuff all the time. I just, I'm always stealing a Bill Wippert picture here or there to post on our show. So Bill, I owe you a few bucks, but a wonderful man. Wish him many more years of photography in Buffalo. All right, that'll do it for After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. Don't forget, all the information going on at Seneca is available at SenecaNiagaraCasino.com. Go check it out. And don't ever forget, true love is blind.